Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is June 25th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Hope everyone out there is doing well today. So today we're going to talk about a number of topics, as we normally do. But our focus is going to be on the Federal Reserve, because we have had a couple members from the Federal Reserve out over the past couple of days making comments to the media, giving some speeches, and I want to dissect what they said, because I think it's important. Again, I don't like the fact that the president, him tweeting, central bankers the world over making comments that move markets. But guess what? That's the world in which we live. So unfortunately, we have to pay attention to them, at least to some degree, because the markets move off of what they say and sometimes what they don't say. So that's what we're going to focus on as we make our way through today's podcast. And it's going to link up with a number of things that we have been discussing here for a while. So the S&P was down 28 points today, losing about 1% for the day. The Dow closed down 179 points, representing about a two-thirds of 1% decline. The NASDAQ lost 121 points, representing about a 1.5% decline for the day. The Russell 2000, the small cap index, lost another 9 points, representing a decline of 0.6%. The Dow Jones Transports lost about 0.9% for the day, continuing its decline over the past couple of days. And the New York Stock Exchange lost 0.6% as well. And of course, this is on the back of those comments, primarily on the back of those comments from a couple members of the Federal Reserve. Oil, we still have tensions. We had a weakening dollar over the past couple of days, although there was a little bit of a rebound in the dollar, again, on the back of those comments from the Federal Reserve. We're going to get to that. Nevertheless, WTI is trading at $58.77 a barrel. Brent oil is trading at $65.82 a barrel. Gold pulled back a little bit today, again, on a strengthening, recovering U.S. dollar. And now gold trades at $1,409 an ounce. Silver, $15.23 an ounce. And now the big doozy, you got Uncle Sam's 10-year U.S. Treasury bond losing 1.3% for the day and now yielding 1.994%. Yes, you heard correctly, 1.994%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is it. The big one's coming. Buckle up. Again, it's not imminent. Just be prepared. The VIX gained 7%, the volatility index now trading at $16.28. So, a couple comments from a couple gentlemen from the Federal Reserve. First, the comment from Robert Kaplan, the president of the Dallas Fed, and he is not a voting member who determines interest rate policy. Of course, he is around the table. He is there for input and discussion, but he is not a voting member. Nevertheless, the market wants to understand what's going on because, hey, you're talking around the table. You might be able to persuade people. You might be able to influence them. We got to hold tight, wait and see. Nope, we should increase rates. Nope, we should cut by 25 basis points. Nope, we should cut by 50 basis points. And then you have your team of economists behind you, and you have their data, and you have their research, and you have their models, and everybody's going around spitballing ideas. At least theoretically, that's what's supposed to be happening. I don't know. Maybe they just take out a pair of dice and they roll it, and whatever number they pick, that's what the interest rate's going to be. I have no idea. I would like to think the former, but it could easily just be the latter, too, because none of this makes a lot of sense. So much for free market capitalism. I don't want to rant, but nevertheless, this is what's taking place in our country, and around the world, for that matter. But nevertheless, we have President Kaplan, again, of the Dallas Fed, coming out and saying, whoa, wait a minute now. I am concerned that adding monetary stimulus at this juncture would contribute to a buildup of excesses and imbalances in the economy, which may ultimately prove to be difficult and painful to manage. Wow. He must have ate his bowl of Wheaties today. I mean, is he finally waking up to this? I am concerned that adding monetary stimulus at this juncture would contribute to a buildup of excesses and imbalances in the economy, which may ultimately prove to be difficult and painful to manage. We talk about that here every stinking day. It's too late. The horse is out of the barn. He ain't coming back. He's gone. He's free. He's not coming back. If you look at the genesis of the Great Recession, 08, 09, and quite frankly, we're still in it. But nevertheless, if you look at the genesis of this, what was it? And this is agreed upon by people who actually understand what's going on. And to some degree, some people who don't. This is how obvious it is that the Federal Reserve kept interest rates too low for too long. They weren't even near the zero bound that we've been in for the past decade. Weren't even close. Yet, low interest rates for too long led to the Great Recession, the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. What does the Federal Reserve do in response? Hell, let's lower them, interest rates, even lower, and keep them there even longer. That ought to fix it. You understand this is not logical. But this is what these people did. This is why you have imbalances. This is why you have excesses that are riddled throughout this country, throughout the entire global economy, for that matter. These chickens are coming home to roost. We look at the data. We talk about the numbers here every single day. You had a free ride. Wall Street did. Corporate America did. Some medium and small-sized businesses did. What did we talk about yesterday? The Bank of International Settlements coming out with a report of finding the central bank of the central bankers coming out and saying, all of this liquidity, all of these low interest rates, all of this quantitative easing, all of these negative yielding debt, this is causing zombie companies to exist. And in the non-financial company space, no less than 12% of non-financial companies fit that criteria of being a zombie company, which simply means they are mismanaged, they should not be in business in their current state, that they should be filing for bankruptcy. Maybe those who have a wake-up call, maybe they hire the right people after the fact, can come out better and stronger and healthier. Others are going to go by the wayside. That's what's supposed to happen in a well-functioning economy. We do not have a well-functioning economy. We just keep hitting the patient with more and more morphine. Let's not actually go in there and operate and get rid of the disease. Let's just give them drugs. Let's just make them feel good. And everything will be fine. That's what we have been living in for the past decade. And there's no end in sight. Because now, again, as we talk about here all the time, it is once again another race to the bottom in these currency wars. Now, of course, every central banker is going to come out and say, oh, well, you know, it's not our job to focus on the currency. That's the job of that country's respective treasury department. That's their business. We're here to mess with interest rates, full employment, inflation, whatever their mandate may or may not be. But the currency, they don't want to talk about it. Now, of course, some of them will in passing, but that's not their objective. That's somebody else's problem. Now, of course, you'd have to be an idiot to believe that, because regardless of whether or not they think that they don't have an effect on the currency, they most definitely do. So that's what you got to pay attention to, not just the rhetoric, but the action, the results after the fact. So now you got this wise guy, President Robert Kaplan of the Dallas Federal Reserve, coming out and saying that he's concerned that adding more monetary stimulus at this juncture might be a bad thing. It's too late. I don't know what they're going to do. What are they going to do next month? Because the interesting thing is we have a whole slew of data coming through this week. We, again, have the G20 meeting at the end of this week where it's still scheduled for President Trump and President Xi of China to get down, sit together, and have a meeting to discuss trade. Of course, now the U.S. is sort of dampening expectations, a complete 180 from being jerked around for the past 6 months, saying it's going to be the best deal ever. Now, I don't care what happens. That's allegedly what the president is telling his people. I don't care what happens. We'll be fine either way. Before, nope, it was going to be a great deal. I'm the best deal maker ever. It's the best thing for America. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Didn't happen. Escalation. there's still escalation, but it's muted. It's being toned down. We're in a holding period. We're going to see what happens at the end of the week. I imagine, regardless of what happens, good, ugly, bad, indifferent, that President Trump will come out and tweet or make a comment and say it was fantastic. That's my guess. That's my guess. But don't hold me to it. But I think I might be right about this one. But we're going to find out. So we have the market on pins and needles waiting to see what transpires out of the G20. We had the market, again, because it's in this wait-and-see mode to see what happens between the U.S. and China, it's a little choppy. But nevertheless, given these statements from these members of the Federal Reserve, not only Robert Kaplan, but we also had Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve today, give a speech and basically said, look, the Federal Reserve is independent. The Federal Reserve is insulated from short-term political pressure. And of course, he's making these comments on the back of all of the attacks that the Federal Reserve and Jay Powell personally is receiving from the President of the United States. Listen, if you follow this podcast, you know I do not like the Federal Reserve. I want the Federal Reserve to be abolished. You want to start solving problems in this country, you abolish the Federal Reserve and you abolish the income tax. Then you start to solve some major problems. And even if you don't, ladies and gentlemen, at the end of it, you're a free individual. Because what you make is yours. You don't have eggheads sitting around a table stealing your wealth. So even at the end of the day, if it's not as great as I would think it would be, you're at least free. What you earn is yours. It's not Uncle Sam's. It's not the Federal Reserve's. It's not some big banker on Wall Street. It's yours. Think about that for a minute. Anybody who talks about structural issues but leaves out the Federal Reserve and doesn't want to touch the income tax doesn't know what they're talking about. Because we've had people come and go throughout the White House, throughout Congress. We got $23 trillion and nothing to show for it. We got crappy infrastructure. We got endless wars. We got terrible public education. Our universities are good, but we have students who have $1.6 trillion in debt and counting. Nobody is talking about the root cause of these problems. And that's it. You got to starve the beast. You got to abolish the beast and the Fed and abolish the federal income tax. All right? So, Jay Powell is out there, wants to make the stance. Yes, the Federal Reserve is an independent organization. Nobody's going to mess with us. Blah, 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 blah. We know the talking points. This is no surprise. If you have a president like we do in Donald Trump who likes to be confrontational, who likes to jab, throw an uppercut here or there when he can, he's going to do it. He does. Again, we've had many and many discussions over the course of the past few months as to why the president is attacking the Federal Reserve, because he's looking for somebody to blame if and when the economy and or the stock market turns south. He wants to blame them, even though he was out again on Twitter today thanking himself, yes, you heard me right, thanking himself for having a record stock market in the month of June. Which is true, by the way, it has been. But where was the president's tweets and comments last month in May when it was one of the worst Mays in a very long time? Where were his tweets and comments back in December of 2018 when that was one of the worst Decembers since the Great Depression? Crickets. Silence. Nothing. But if it's all good, you hear the president come out and talk about it. And he said, thank you, Mr. President, in his tweet. Thank you, Mr. President. He's applauding himself. He's patting himself on the back for the stock market. Then, you know, if the stock market's great, if it's making record highs, which the S&P is, the Dow's close to touching them, the Nasdaq's close again to regaining them, you have record low unemployment, which you do, 49, 50-year record low unemployment headline figures. I mean, what do you need? You had a 3.2% reading on Q1 GDP. You say everything's fantastic. You say the U.S. is bringing in billions and billions of dollars from these tariffs, from the Chinese, which of course is not true, but nevertheless, everything's fantastic. Why do you need the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates? It doesn't make any sense. And of course, if you follow this podcast, we go through day by day more and more economic news, more and more pieces of the economic puzzle that is deteriorating as the days go on. But nevertheless, the president wants you to believe that the stock market is the economy, which it is not. Furthermore, half of Americans don't even own stocks. And those that do, if they have them through a 401k or some sort of IRA, you can't touch that money until you're retired. If you do, you're fined and taxed. So how many people do you think this is honestly benefiting? This is benefiting people in the upper echelons of society who own financial assets. And again, I am not somebody who likes to go on this tirade with class warfare. That's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about freedom. It's about individual rights and liberty. That's what this podcast is about. It's about the truth. It's not about pitting people against each other. But when things are done fraudulently, I have to call them out. And when the president makes you believe or wants you to believe that the economy is the stock market, it just ain't so. It just ain't so. The main reason why I voted for President Trump, and one of the main reasons why I am now disgusted with this president on this front and a couple others, is because when he was a candidate and when he was a civilian, he was saying that the Federal Reserve basically needed to go. That they caused these bubbles. They caused these malinvestments. The economy's fake. The stock market's fake. They're doing all this stuff to prop up Obama. Yada, yada, yada. And I said, it's about time somebody starts talking about the Federal Reserve, because the only other person who was doing it was former Congressman Ron Paul of Texas. His son, Senator Rand Paul, talks about it too, but not to the degree that Ron Paul did. But Ron Paul, unfortunately, is too smart for average American to vote for him to become president of the United States. So instead, we have Donald Trump, which, of course, if you listen to him, he's a super genius. Check out our podcast, episode 87A, our political podcast for the day, Obliteration and Mentally Challenged, because as soon as you make a comment questioning the intellect of Donald Trump, you get a big tweet. So check that out. So, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. This is why I'm disgusted. Now the president is the president, and he wants the Federal Reserve to embark on the same policies that he was ridiculing, and properly so, for so long before he was president of the United States. Now he's the kingpin. He's sitting in the Oval Office, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Give me interest rate cuts. Give me quantitative easing, because you gave it to everybody else. This is ridiculous. This is pathetic. You know, again, if the president didn't come out and take responsibility and take title to the stock market and the economy, he wouldn't have to do this. If he had come out from the get-go and said, I was elected with a mandate to drain the swamp. Well, it doesn't get any swampier than Washington, D.C. It doesn't get any swampier than these politicians who have been here making a living off the American people in the name of quote-unquote service, public service. They're all multimillionaires. And then down the street, you got the Federal Reserve. Well, that's where I'm going to start going. I'm going to attack those two. I'm going to drain the swamp. Of course, not so. Not so. He is continuing to inflate this bubble. That's all he wants, evidently, because he's obsessed with the stock market. He wants your attention on the stock market. He doesn't want to talk about all the deteriorating information, the deteriorating data that comes out on a daily basis from manufacturing, from retail, service industry. Makes no difference what corner of the United States you're in. It's deteriorating, unfortunately. But this is all highly predictable. This is what we talk about here all the time, because it is predictable. You got to look underneath the hood. Not just look at the headlines, not just look at the shiny paint job. You got to lift the hood. You got to look in the engine a little bit. It's all it takes is a little bit of work. Get off Twitter and listen and listening to those headlines. Okay, it's one thing to understand the headlines. It's another thing to take a few moments and to do a deeper dive. Believe me, you can do it. But that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. You have $10 trillion in corporate debt. Those chickens are coming home to roost. If the Federal Reserve does decide to cut interest rates, despite what they are now somewhat saying, that, well, we have some hesitation. Of course, there's a lot of data that's going to come out between now and their next meeting at July, because it's the end of July, by the way. So we have an entire month and a few days before the Federal Reserve meets again and makes a determination on what the federal funds rate is going to be. Will they cut by 25 basis points, 50 basis points? It's anybody's guess, because we're going to have to wait and see what happens at the end of this week in regards to the U.S.-China trade talks. Because if somehow Trump pulls out a deal, pulls a rabbit out of a hat, that's, again, we had this discussion yesterday. Right now, that's a headwind to the economy. If there's some sort of miraculous deal, that's going to end up being a tailwind, at least for the short term. The stock markets will rally. The economy, maybe business sentiment will pick up a little bit. Consumer confidence will pick up a little bit on the headline news. Again, ignoring all of the reality of everything that we've been paying attention to for the past several months. Somehow, drop of a hat, everything's fine just because the U.S. and China are on the road to signing a trade deal. I'm not buying it. I think this is a lot of baloney. This is a cover story. But nevertheless, it's headline news. It's been moving the markets. The president himself or one of his lackeys comes out, makes a statement saying everything's good, the markets rise, because that is what this president is concerned about. Again, if he really wanted to focus on the economy, let him talk about all of these economic figures that are coming out on a daily basis that are not good. We had some other poor housing numbers that come out today. Sales are down. The rate of price increases are falling. I mean, that's a good thing if you're buying a house, but if you're trying to sell one, it's not a good thing. And of course, this economy is more concerned with the seller than it is the buyer. Okay? But we're trying to get interest rates low so people can have low interest rates. They can have a low mortgage payment, a lower mortgage payment than what they otherwise would. Instead of worrying about having lower prices, having a house that might be bloated and inflated to $1 million, maybe it should be worth $500,000. That might really get a lot of people interested in that house. But no, we're going to get them interested because, well, you know, interest rates are going to be 4%, 3.5%. That's going to get them in there. They're going to spend the million. And over the course of the lifetime of that loan, it's going to be $2 million out of their pocket. But don't pay attention to the numbers. Just look at that mortgage payment. Just look at that interest rate. That's the big ticket. That is such a fraud. That is such flawed thinking. It's ridiculous. All that does is kicks the can further down the road. That is exactly what happens. That is the excess and imbalance that takes place throughout the economy. This is why you have zombie companies. This is why you have zombie households walking around. Can't make this stuff up, folks. I want people to be successful, but I want it to be as real as possible. I do not like these bubbles. I do not like the manipulation. I do not like the power and control that is wielded by a president and by central bankers to move these markets to the degree to which they do. I mean, this is good cop, bad cop. This is, I mean, I don't know what this is. Cowboys and Indians with the president and the Federal Reserve. This is little kids going at it. Again, the president calling the Federal Reserve a little kid or childish, which again is rich statement coming from the president, given his many comments and antics. So, I mean, come on. We have structural issues and nobody's talking about it. At all. $12.5 trillion in negative yielding debt. The excesses and imbalances are already here. I don't know what these people are looking at to say now all of a sudden they're concerned. Where have they been for the past 10 years? Well, we're all about to find out. Buckle up. Thank you so much for joining me today, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure having you. As always, please like, share, subscribe. Get the word out and leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. I wish I had some better news, but this is unfortunate. Stay tuned, be diversified, be vigilant, and stick with the Capital News. I am Alex Kuraitis. Godspeed.